Good morning. And welcome to Union Congregational, where no matter who you are or where you are in your life's journey, you are welcome here. My name is Pastor Tori, and this is our first time meeting at 9:30 with a time change. I don't know about you, but that messes me up a little bit. I'm out in the hallway going, come on. And so we are having church service at 9:30 all year long. Doesn't matter if it's winter, doesn't matter if it's summer, 9:30 all the time. So hopefully that will lessen the confusion of switching back and forth from 9 to 10 a little bit. So if you have a hard time hearing me, we have hearing devices in the back that Margaret can connect you with. And also we have the little forms in your front pew. I think everybody knows this, but I'm just going to say a brief version of it. If you have your address or anything changed in contact information, fill one of those out and drop it in the offering plate. And also, on the back, there is a prayer request form that later in the service, we have a time where we share prayer requests out loud. And if that is something, you have a prayer request, but you don't want to share it out loud, if it's something more personal, you can just write it out, fold it up, put it in the offering plate, and that way, it is for my eyes only. Are there any other announcements today?
Men's fellowship is Tuesday. Breakfast at 9 a.m. Construction of the Christmas trees.
Like I said, if I'm going to make a fool of myself, I'm going to do it with the mic. I was just in and looked at the tree thing. You know, that's something I get all concerned about. And we're having treats today, but not anymore because nobody signed up. There's nothing wrong with having just coffee, but if you want treats, we have to sign up. And it's on the bulletin board in there. All you have to do is write your name. It's not real hard. Of course, then you have to bring the treat. Just thought I'd let you know.
Thank you, Margaret. Oh, that's all right. Yeah, there is that saying of dropping the mic, and I think, Margaret, with that announcement, you just dropped the mic right there. Thank you for that announcement. And yes. Any other announcements? Okay, let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Let's take a time of silence to prepare our hearts. Join me in the call to worship. Gather us in, the lost and the lonely, the broken and the breaking, the tired and the aching, who long for the nourishment found at your feast. Gather us in, the proud and the pretentious, the sure and the superior, the never inferior, who long for the leveling found at your feast. Gather us in from the corner to limelight, from mansions to campsites, from fears and obsession, from tears and depression, from untold excesses, from treasured successes. Gather us in. Let us stand and sing a song called Bind Us Together. And please stand if you are able. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, bind us together with love. There is only one God, there is only one King, there is only one body, that is why I sing. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, bind us together with love. The peace of God be with you. Let us greet our friends and neighbors with the peace of Christ. You may be seated. Our scripture today is taken out of Matthew. And I have to warn you that this morning I had my sermon all ready to go. And the time change gave me a little bit more time to think. I rewrote my whole sermon this morning. I looked at it and went, I don't think this is what God is speaking to me that I need to speak to you. And so I erased half of it and rewrote it. And when I got done, I said, okay, I think this is what God is speaking. And the nice thing is that God is continuously speaking to us. And I'm kind of excited about this sermon. It is still about Yertle the Turtle in our Dr. Seuss series, but the title has changed. It is now called Foundations. Our scripture reading today is found in Matthew 7, 24 through 27. And it is part of a larger sermon. It's part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And he starts off the sermon by saying, blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed. And he gives the Beatitudes. And he teaches a lot of things that are very opposite of how we're supposed to be. As humans, we react and we want to respond and we want to retaliate. But Jesus oftentimes teaches the opposite. And in Matthew 7, 24 through 27, he says this, Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on a rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. I'm going to go get my little clicker. And if Miho, I know that turned off. So there's always technical issues, isn't there? The battery might be done.
Yeah.
That's okay. We can skip this part. This week we are wrapping up our series, our mini-series on the Gospel according to Dr. Seuss. Yeah, our little technical stuff here. There we go. A Gospel according to Dr. Seuss. And we have gone through a small book called Horton Hatches an Egg and What Was I So Scared Of? And now this week we're looking at a story of Yertle the Turtle. And someone, I don't know if she wants me to tell who, but someone gave us a prop. This, for today, is Yertle the Turtle. I was told that I could paint it, but I didn't have time to paint it. So this is our visual of Yertle the Turtle. The story of Yertle the Turtle is about a little turtle who got the crazy idea that he was king of all that he could see. But Yertle was not content with just sitting on a small rock in his pond. It was too low. King Yertle wanted to expand his kingdom, which meant elevating his throne. So he ordered 9 turtles to swim to the stone, and he used these turtles to build a new throne where he could see his kingdom. That's the title of the book. Okay. And Yertle could see over a mile, and he realized is now that he is king of a cow. And he's king of a mule. He has a house, a blueberry bush, and a cat. Good luck ruling over the cat. And it says, all through the morning he sat up high, saying over and over, a great king am I. Until long about noon, then he heard a faint sigh. What's that? Snapped the king. And he looked down the stack. And he saw at the bottom a turtle named Mac, just a part of his throne. And this plain little turtle looked up and he said, beg your pardon, King Turtle, your King Yertle. I've pains in my back and my shoulders and knees. How long must I stand here, your majesty, please? Yertle snapped back and demanded even more turtles come to stack his throne and make it taller so that he could see and rule over more. Turtles, he cried. Turtles, more turtles. I need more turtles. And he bellowed and yelled. And the turtles sat down on the pond, all over the pond were afraid. And all of them stepped on the head of poor Mac as they began to build a higher throne. And one after another, they climbed up that stack. Well, after a while, Mac had enough. The plain little turtle below in the stack, that plain little turtle whose name was just Mac, decided he'd taken enough, and he had. And that plain little lad got a little bit mad. And that plain little Mac did a plain little thing. He burped. and his burped shook the throne of the king. And Yertle came tumbling down into the pond, and he plopped headfirst into the mud. Yertle was still king of all he saw. However, all he saw was mud. And so all the other turtles called him king of the mud. This story reminds us of our scripture today about the foolish man building his house on the sand instead of a rock. Yertle fell because the foundation of his throne wasn't solid. Turtles' backs are not strong enough. It was weak, so weak that a little burp brought the entire throne coming down. Yertle's attitude and motivation for building a new throne was not a solid foundation. He was driven by selfishness and greed. The world revolved around him. We make choices every day regarding how we want our foundation to be built. We build our foundations on our values and on our convictions. When I was in seminary, I had a professor named Dr. Lawrence. He was my theology professor. And he said to us one day, many people build their theology two different ways. One way of building your theology is like stacking it, like a stack of, in a pyramid, like tin cans. And then once you take one can out, it all topples over. And others build their theology like a brick wall, where you can take a piece of your theology out and look at it, chip away at it, brush it off, reform it, reshape it, and put it back in without disturbing the whole wall. And he said, it's up to you how you want to build your theology. And I thought that my theology was a brick wall. I thought I could take out bricks and examine them and go, okay, take a little bit off there, take a little bit off there. Maybe my beliefs changed a little bit, and then put them back in, and everything would be fine. Well, 8 years ago, about, I pulled the wrong brick, and it sent my wall of theology crumbling to the ground. And I looked at the rubble around me, and seeing my beliefs about Christology and about pneumatology and soteriology and soteriology, ecclesiology, and eschatology. Those are big words. I learned all about them. And I learned different ways of believing about each one. And they were all laying at my feet. My faith was totally deconstructed and laying on the ground. And I found out what my theology was based on. My beliefs about God weren't built necessarily on God. It was built on my belief about humanity, anthropology. I believed humanity was at its core evil and bad. That my foundation, that's where I built my theology. And if that was my foundation, everything that I built on it was based on that foundation of humanity. So my belief about Christology, about Christ, my views on pneumatology, my beliefs about the study of the Holy Spirit, soteriology, salvation, ecclesiology, my beliefs about the church, and eschatology, my beliefs about the end times. It was all built on my belief about humanity and that it was evil and bad. It was a belief about myself and it crumbled to the ground. The world of my theology was built around me. And for the last 8 years, I have been reconstructing my faith. And I needed to decide what that new foundation would be. And I picked up a brick that said Christ. And I thought, if I'm going to believe in Christianity, that I need to start with this brick called Christ. And it is my decision, my choice, to see God through the lens of Jesus Christ. Others choose to see God through the lens of Buddhism, or the lens of Hinduism, or the lens of Judaism. But I choose to relate to God through Jesus Christ, who I believe is the Son of God. And I want to follow the way Jesus interacted with God. And I want to follow the way that Jesus interacted with people. That is what I want my foundation to be. I want to be more like Jesus. And that became my foundation. And all the other theological elements were built on my foundation of how I viewed Christ. Now, do I have it all put back together? No. Faith is something that is always growing and always changing. Do I have it all right? Probably not. But does anybody have it 100% right? And that's where God's grace comes in. And I believe that my professor was right. We have to examine the elements of our theology. We have to examine our faith. And because sometimes God reveals part of God's self to us that changes us and challenges us. And we have to be open to examine our belief systems. But first, we must have a firm foundation. I took my first communion when I was 15 years old. I joined the church at that time. And just as a side note, I had never had grape juice before. The taste was a surprise to me. I think I puckered. And at that time growing up, I was taught that during that time of silence and waiting, I must search my heart and look at my sin, ask forgiveness, and repent. Communion was about the foundation of humanity, of my own humanity, that anthropology, my belief that humanity is evil. And today, I still take a time of silence. That time of holding the bread and holding the cup and think about who I have hurt in my life and who I have treated badly or who I have spoken to harshly. And I need to ask forgiveness not only of God, but do my best to make amends in that relationship. But now I believe that there is another element to communion that I practice that has become new for me. One that is based on more of Christ. It's taking the bread and taking the cup. And it's me saying, I want to pattern my life after Jesus Christ. Taking the bread, Christ's body, and the cup, Christ's blood, is a symbol of recognizing God coming in human form because of God's love for us. And Christ being broken by the actions of humanity because of their selfishness. For me, it is a reaffirmation of my commitment to be more like Christ. It's a checkpoint for me of where I am at with my foundation. And it's also about community, I have learned. To take communion with others means I don't have to do this by myself. I have others who are trying to do the same thing with me. others who are on this journey alongside of me. And so it is my hope, my friends of Union Congregational, that we build our foundation on something solid, solid ground. Ground that won't shake or give way when questions or hard times come. May we reflect on our lives and recognize our own humanity as not something that needs to be built on, but something that needs to be defined on the foundation of Christ. Amen. Amen. Let us stand and sing. How firm of a foundation. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4, and it's number 407 in your hymnal. Stand if you are able. Has been laid by God in the Word, in the sacrifice paid. What more can God say than to you has been said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? Fear not, I am with you. Not dismayed, for I am your God. I will still give you aid. I'll strengthen you, help you, and cause you to stand, upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand. When through fiery trials your path shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be your supply. The flame shall not hurt you, nor have designed your soul to make pure, just as refined. You may be seated. Was that a new song for some of you? It's a cool song, though, isn't it? We might have to sing that one again. Let us take some time to share our joys and our concerns, our prayer requests, and our praises.
Lynn Smith had surgery for a tumor on her kidney, and she is doing well. The Smiths always sat right back there. Now they're in Chicago. The other thing I wanted to mention is that Tori's been with us a year now, and I just wanted to say how thrilled I am that she's here. And I still remember the first sermon, Flannel Board Jesus. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember it. Good thing I haven't preached it again, huh?
Yeah, Flannel Board Jesus, where there's a board there, a flannel board, and all these things just stick up on the board, and you stick them up there, and then you don't really think much about it. Anyway, that one stuck with me. A year later, I still remember it.
Wow.
So that's pretty good for someone older person, for an older person. Anyway, anybody else?
I just want to mention that I have two sisters, my younger sister and my oldest sister, both having some serious health issues in the last couple of weeks, and I'd like prayers for them. And the other good news is that our son Scott had cyberknife treatment, his scan came back, and everything looks good. They have stopped the cancer in its tracks again.
Good. your son Scott. Would you like to share the names of your sisters? Luella and Arlene. Wow. Any other prayer requests or praises? Let's go to God in prayer. God of grace, God of love, we come before you today knowing that you are a God, creator of the world, but yet looks on us for as small as we are, that you care. You see our hearts, created our inmost being, and you love us. No matter what we have done or what we will do. God, you have pursued us throughout our life to have a foundation with you. And God, we thank you for revealing yourself through Jesus Christ, whom you have sent here to live, to show us the way, to show us what the kingdom of God could look like. And God, we thank you for not giving up on us and for always, always, always loving us and caring for us and making a way for us to be closer to you. God, we lift up Myra's sisters, Luella and Arlene, as they are struggling with their health issues. We ask that you comfort and give them peace, and we ask that you heal them. We also praise you and thank you for Scott, for walking with him and always being with him. We thank you for the results that once again cancer has been stopped. And God, we remember our friends, Lynn and Don, and the journey that they have been through with dealing with the tumor that is on our kidney. We thank you that it has been removed. We thank you that you have strengthened them and encouraged them, and that they have clung to you and have faith in you, that you will see this and be with them until the end. God, we pray for those who could not be here with us today, those of you, those who have maybe left for the winter, or those who are not well this morning. We pray that you are with them. Be close to their hearts and let them know through your Holy Spirit that you care about them. Can you continue to guide them and direct them in all that they do? And God, in the light of what has happened this week in our country, we pray for our country once again. We pray for our leaders who you have put into place. And we ask that they make decisions, either start making decisions or continue to make decisions that will bring unity to this country. And God, we thank you for those who serve this country, those who put their lives on this who put their lives on the line for freedom and for an ideal that our Constitution matters. We ask that you protect them. And now, God, as we come together as one, being unified as a body of Christ, we remember the prayer that Jesus, your Son, has taught us to pray. Our God in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Will the ushers please come forward for our morning tithes and offerings? Be seated. Let us prepare our hearts and our minds for the sacrament of Holy Communion. God of justice, keep us silent when the only words we have to utter are ones of judgment, exclusion, or prejudice. Teach us to face the wounds in our hearts. God of power, keep us silent so that we may listen respectfully to another person's pain without trying to fade or fix it, for you are present with each one of us. God of love, in the silence of our hearts, give us words to welcome, acceptance and renewal, so that when we speak, our words come from you. Let us sing, let's break bread together, verses 1 and 2. Thank you.
us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on my knees, I lift my face to the rising sun. Oh, drink wine together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, oh God, have mercy on me.
In the company of all believers, in every time and beyond time, we come to this table to know the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup. God be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God Most High. The night that Jesus was betrayed, he was gathered in an upper room with some of his friends, having a meal together. And at some point in the meal, he took bread, and he raised it up, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat." And then Christ took the cup and he raised it and he said, "This is my blood, a new covenant that I make with you. Take and drink." And every time you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you are remembering me until I come again. My friends, this is not my table. This is not Union Congregational's table, nor is it the United Church of Christ's table. This is Christ's table, and all are welcome to partake of it. My friends, the table is ready. Come and eat.
Thank you.
This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat. This is my cup, a new covenant that I make with you. Take and drink. Please pray with me. God, we come before you today knowing that you need to be our foundation. We ask that you renew us, that you recreate in us hearts that are pure and that are holy, so that we can demonstrate Christ's love to others. Work in us and change us. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand and sing one more song. Blessed be the tie that binds. And we're going to be singing verses 1, 2, and 3.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love.
Receive now the benediction. May God the Creator go with you this week. May Christ shine in you and be your foundation. And may the Holy Spirit guide you in all that you do. Amen.
crazy